Heavenly Father, bless you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. We purpose to serve you every possible day that's left in Jesus' name. We look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and receive that promise from the book of Revelation of a special blessing. We purpose to serve you tonight and glorify you in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Many dormant volcanoes are showing signs of becoming active. Mount Etna in Italy is making headlines around the world because it's centered in Europe. Right now, 35 major volcanoes are either erupting or have recently erupted, and several dozen are beginning to stir beyond those 35. One single volcano erupting one time puts more pollution into the air than all of mankind caused pollution for all of human history. One single eruption. Trying to reduce atmospheric gases by massive regulation is pointless with 35 active volcanoes. Magma is molten underground rocks or melted rocks beneath the Earth's surface. Some kind of inside Earth pressure is pushing this stuff up through the cracks. That's what volcanoes are, of course. Mount Etna is on the island of Sicily and has so much magma, you can see it from 18 miles away, the magma. On the other side of the world, Guatemala's volcano of fire erupted 2 weeks ago that rained down fire on all the nearby communities. It's in danger of reaching the capital city, which is only 25 miles away. This was the second eruption in a year. In the Pacific Ocean, a fire hose of lava is what they're calling it, has been pouring out of the Kilauean volcano since December 31st. That's just recent. India had one volcano silent for 150 years, is now spewing forth lava and ash, and that began in January. India's volcano is in the barren island chain. Scientists used to call some volcanoes dead volcanoes, but the problem is a lot of the dead volcanoes have been resurrected back to life. Last month, Indonesia's Mount Sinabung, erupted seven times in a single day. Now authorities in Iceland are warning that four of Iceland's volcanoes are getting close to erupting. If you remember the last time that happened over in Iceland, they had to shut down air traffic in parts of Europe and that area for a half a year. Volcanoes seem to have a correlation with earthquakes. Perhaps the earthquakes cause the cracks that opens the path for the lava, or perhaps the pressure from the lava forces the cracks open, causing the earthquakes. It's kind of a chicken or egg kind of thing. Which comes first, we don't know. Jesus said that increased earthquakes would be one of the early signs before his second coming. In fact, it was one of the signs that he said, when you see these things, the bad stuff hasn't started yet. This is just the early stuff, and he said, don't fear. Mount Etna in Italy is spectacular, but now a dormant volcano, this dormant volcano is gaining pressure under the city of Naples. The problem with this is Naples, it's named Campi Flegre, and it's considered in the category of a supervolcano, which is reaching the classification of critical. There's a half a million people living above this supervolcano. If Naples volcano blows as a supervolcano, several million will die, not just the half million that live above the top of it, and a volcanic winter would occur where there'd be massive crop failures, and that would cause a worldwide famine. It'd be so cold in the summer that we couldn't get the crops to germinate or grow around the whole world, except if you're like near the equator. When Jesus mentioned the earthquakes, he also mentioned droughts. Also, again, the third seal of the 21 signs in the book of Revelation speak of an astronomical spike in food prices, which occurs when supply is way lower than the demands. Talking about supervolcanoes, the U.S. has one under Yellowstone or Mount Rainier that would wipe out the western half of the United States. It's doing some weird things lately, but it doesn't look like it's going to blow anytime soon. North Korea also has a super volcano that, if it blew, it would affect a huge portion of Asia and Malaysia. It'd also stop some of their weapons development programs. North Korea's super volcano seems to be waking up from its dormancy as well. As far as volcanoes go worldwide, the new normal is unstable to critical. And no, these worldwide volcanoes are not being caused by oil fracking in Oklahoma. The Ring of Fire around the Pacific Ocean is 25,000 miles long, this whole ring is, and it contains three-quarters of the world's volcanoes. Most are dormant. 452 volcanoes are in this ring. 91% of the world's earthquakes occur in this ring. You see the correlation between the two. Of the 25 largest volcanoes to ever occur, 22 of them were in this Ring of Fire. And of course, the mainstream media is trying to desperately find a way to connect these volcanoes to Donald Trump. Just like they said that Hurricane Katrina was caused by George Bush, by his lack of regulation, causing greenhouse gas, changing the climate, and he killed all those people in Katrina. So they're trying to figure out a way to tie Donald Trump. So far, they haven't found the Donald Trump connection with 35 volcanoes. You never know. I have a nephew, James Taylor, and sometimes things would break or things would happen with James. And one day, this massive weeping willow was laying sideways on the ground in my brother's yard, and I was there standing next to him. We weren't saying anything. We were just looking at this massive tree that would take a couple of people to reach around. And I said, somehow James is responsible. You know, he was always getting the blame for everything anyway. Well, so they're looking for a Donald Trump connection. Switching topics, North Korea launched four missiles Monday that were so precise that they look like planes flying in formation. North Korea said that they are being developed for an actual real war with the United States. Yesterday, the UN Security Council met to discuss what to do. North Korea is not part of the UN, so it really doesn't matter too much, nor are they likely to actually do anything. The UN doesn't do anything anyway. The missiles landed close to Japan and Japan's exclusive economic water zone. Last month, Kim Jong-un of North Korea had his half-brother assassinated in an airport using two female operatives and a nerve agent. They use nerd agents. Today, Donald Trump announced that he is sending B-1 and B-52 bombers, also capable of carrying nukes, to South Korea. Right now, as I'm speaking, the 300,000 South Korean troops and 15,000 U.S. troops are currently involved in war games called Full Eagle. The USS Vinson, a Nimitz-class supercarrier, is also departing from San Francisco this week on its way to South Korea, along with guided missile cruiser USS Champlain and two guided missile destroyers. All four of them will not make it in time for the war games, but will arrive shortly thereafter. I'm sure they're just out on a little jaunt, you know. Plus, the United States Marine Station in Japan are sending over F-353 stealth fighters to South Korea for the very first time. These things can evade anti-aircraft radar and make preemptive first strikes. I wonder what's going on there. Does that sound like they're getting ready for something? Yep, they're getting ready for something. We are really sending all of our stuff over there right now. Even most of the stuff will be arriving after the war games are over. North Korea is also reported to have a stockpiled 5,000 tons of chemical weapons. I don't know what to do. with North Korea. They need to get saved. Recent scientific discoveries included superconductors, quantum spin liquids, superfluids, and the new time crystals. The laws of thermodynamics say that everything approaches equilibrium. For example, if you set a hot cup of coffee on the counter and come back later in the day, it will reach room temperature. You know, everything adjusts to itself. Another law is the law of entropy, meaning that everything begins to break down from order to disorder. You leave anything by itself and it moves towards disorder. These time crystals is considered an exotic state of matter. Basically, long story short, students at Harvard University are using diamonds filled with nitrogen and manipulates the atoms in with a laser light. While the experiment is turned on, these diamonds stay the same, even though the atoms are being manipulated. They defy the laws of thermodynamics. They don't adjust, and they don't deteriorate. They're held in this suspended animation, and the laws of nature are not functioning on them at the time. It's like two people looping a jump rope, and a third person jumps, and every second they swing the rope around and the person jumps, and then the person jumping starts jumping every 2 seconds while they loop it once, and they never hit the rope. It's impossible. Well, that's what they're dealing with, that kind of thing, where the laws of physics would say that if you don't jump up in the air, the rope's going to hit your legs. Not in this case. This case, they are simply not responding to the laws of nature. If you shut the laser off, it starts responding again. The laws of equilibrium and entropy and all that start doing it. But as long as it's turned on, they're calling them time crystals. They thought that was a cool name for them. Basically, as energy, a massive amount is pumped into a system without heating up. That doesn't happen. It's happening here. These experiments don't break the laws of nature. It's more like they temporarily suspend them. Which, to me, that sounds like breaking them. They temporarily suspend them. Oh, beam me up, Scotty. They're not listening. Today, Iran tested a cruise missile called Sumar. That happened today, which is capable of carrying a nuclear weapon. It's just a medium range, capable of going 1,800 miles. That was a big deal. This week, Iran successfully fired two test missiles from a submarine. They're the biblical Persia. This week, Iran's new S-300 air defense system delivered by Russia to shoot down any incoming planes or rockets went online and is fully functional. Persia is going to make a move one of these days. I'll talk about that probably near the end. They're going to attack Israel in a very key Bible prophecy. The Pope is meeting with the heads of all the European Union on March 24th. To try and influence them all to adopt a more socialistic communist agenda. Most of Europe is already socialist communist, by the way, if you didn't know it. Even though we think of like China and Russia as socialists, they're all socialist over there. They just pretend that they're not, but they function identical. But that meeting is the 60th anniversary of the European Founding Treaty of 1957. After this meeting, the Pope will host a special Rome summit. Pope Francis is on a short list of potential false prophet possibilities. In the Bible, there will be a trinity of evil, a false religious prophet, an antichrist figure, political figure, and Satan himself that forms an unholy trinity. The false prophet is portrayed as a lamb with two small horns. That's why we believe he's going to be a powerful world Christian leader that raises up the beast in 666 system. He's making his move, and this move is huge. He hasn't met with Europe. No Pope has met with Europe for many years, and he's going to have two meetings, this Treaty of Rome meeting after he meets with all the heads. several cardinals are pretty upset with him right now, and they were trying to figure out how to get rid of him. And so there's an inner Catholic war going on right now, and he's making a world push. He was quiet for a while. Now he's making a big push and traveling around the world and making some huge statements. And this deal with Europe this month is a real key thing. So we'll see. I have no idea where the term "we're not out of the woods yet" came from. I love the woods, but I guess I've been lost twice in my life and ended up running both times, yelling at my legs to stop, and they wouldn't pay attention to me. Well, anyway, we're not out of the woods yet. Remember the global economy and the massive U.S. debt and the overpriced stock market and the rising interest rates and inflation threats, and we're not out of the woods yet. Brazil and Venezuela are actually experiencing their longest recession. They're really in a depression in their history. Brazil was the seventh largest economy in the world. Now, in the end times, there's going to be a global economy set up because the rest of the global economy has pretty much collapsed and being replaced. 7 out of 10 Venezuelans lost weight last year. Not on purpose. Right. They've eaten all their pets. They've eaten all the zoo animals. Yeah. Just a few years ago, the Brazilian economy was roaring and considered the economic poster child for the world. In just 2 years, everything collapsed. What happened? Basically mismanagement, bad debt, price controls, regulations, nationalization of major industries causing foreign investors to flee the country. Mexico seems to be tottering as well. Their debt is 20 times what it was 20 years ago. Mexico heavily invested in Europe, and Europe is slowly collapsing. That's part of their problem. As Margaret Thatcher said, socialism only works until you run out of other people's money. The ideal with socialism is everybody works together. We're all one big, huge family. It doesn't work, though. The rich don't want to pay. They make sure that they hide their money and move it. The poor don't have it to pay, so the middle class winds up getting stuck with the taxes. Eventually, when you drain the middle class out to where they're destroyed, because you've sucked everything out of them you can suck out of it, you've got the rich and a massive amount of poor. Socialism works in the early years and then collapses into this every single time. That's why Margaret Thatcher said, when you run out of other people's money, it's over. When you drain the middle class out of a nation, then you've got the bad side of socialism. As the U.S. dollar becomes stronger globally, it takes more and more foreign currencies to cover their huge debts. The stronger the U.S. dollar gets, the worse everybody else gets. And it looks like the Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates again, possibly next week, which will further strengthen the dollar and further do damage to the other countries. Basically, the largest debt bubble worldwide that the world has ever had is getting ready to burst. Hopefully, it'll be a slow leak like in a balloon. No one has yet figured out what year it's going to happen or how to soften the blow because we are in uncharted territory. For many nations, the economic pain will last for years, basically bankruptcy after bankruptcy. Eventually, a global collapse occurs, according to what the Bible says, and that's the third seal, or the black horse of the four horses of the apocalypse. A global religious leader who seems to be Christian will rise up to power, and they're the one that sets the 666 and the mark of the beast in place, not the Antichrist. The global leader that's the religious does it, and then he hands the system over to the Antichrist. I believe that the false prophet is going to be Christian and the Antichrist will be a Muslim. The Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian to identify him. The United States is now only 4% of the world population. We used to be 5%, but the world has grown and we have shrunk. Yet, we consume 40% of the world's goods and services, even though we're only 4% of the population. The latest statistics of the United States shopping malls is that one-third of them are projected to close. This isn't necessarily due to a bad economy, but instead online purchases with free shipping right to your door. It's cutting a huge market share, especially with online discounts because they don't have to pay for the overhead. The United States has 1,100 malls. 400 of them are slated to close in the next couple years, with another 450 expected to close a couple years after that, leaving probably only 250 malls left in the whole nation. Any church or Christian school want to buy a mall? I think they're cool. They got the bathrooms, the hallways, parking lot. These malls are going to go up for sale. I'm hoping churches and schools and colleges snap them up, because online marketing is here to stay as long as the lights stay on. Right now, 310 malls are in process of losing their name brand anchor store this year. But I thought the stock markets were doing good. The answer is they are right now, but purchasing stock and retirement portfolios are not the same as buying clothing, fishing poles, and books. They're two different markets. The economy that President Trump inherited sees New York City with record high homeless, with plans to build an additional 90 new homeless shelters. Tent cities are popping up all over in urban areas because there's nowhere to put the homeless anymore. Most of these homeless are the people that have come across the border and are not documented, and so they're creating these tent cities. These tent cities have thousands of illegal refugees in them, as well as U.S. citizen homeless. Many urban areas are using the tent cities as their new sanctuaries for political purposes, you know. If the Federal Reserve raises interest rates next week, it'll hurt this economy and make President Trump's policies look bad. The Federal Reserve looks like it's making a political move, not an economic move, just to make a point. Retail isn't collapsing as fast as stores are closing. Cabela's, huge stores, for example, when you go in a massive Cabela store, that's only 13% of what they have. 87% of what Cabela has, you have to go online to get, because they only carry 13% of their products in the stores. So that's the new trend. That's the new market. Central banks are designed to create debt. Since the establishment of the Federal Reserve central banks in 1913, U.S. national debt has gotten 6,800 times larger in the last 104 years. That computes to 65 times larger per year, the national debt for every one of those 104 years. Or the national debt has increased 1.25% per week for the last 104 years. That's what's known as a debt bubble. The Federal Reserve is not a U.S. bank, nor is it part of the U.S. Treasury Department. The federal banks are European-based banks owned by 12 extremely wealthy family groups. Our own Federal Reserve is owned by the Bank of England, and it's controlled by the Queen of England and Prince Charles. They also own BP Oil Company. Central banks loan money, then they make a profit on the interest. When the debt bubble occurs from extreme lending practices, the collapsing economies trigger large amounts of bankruptcies. The banks hold the titles to the businesses, to the houses, to the buildings, to the land, to the equipment, and take it all back and resell it and make loans on it again, and then make money on the interest, collapse the system, get it all back, and do it again. Wars are really good at collapsing the system, where the banks recover everything they had and they start over again. At this point in history, 99% of the world population now live in a nation that has a debt-creating central bank. The false prophet will eventually use one of these systematic collapses of the debt cycles to establish the new world order. I cannot imagine there being two of them coming. This one is going to be so astronomical when this debt bubble collapses, whatever year it does, that it should be the defining moment for the false prophet to make his move. And I don't know if it's 1 year, 3 years, 8 years. It's just that this is an uncharted territory we're walking into. The false prophet is going to hand the system over to the Antichrist, whoever that may be. President Donald Trump has thrown a wrench into this debt bubble collapse cycle. This wrench will eventually be gone, even if he serves two full terms of 8 years. He's a temporary wrench. Huh? Yeah, so I'll run. The massive U.S. debt and the massive global debt will collapse, and this may prove to be the final collapse. I suspect it will be. Basically, President Donald Trump has bought us some time, years of time, to finish what we need to do. And so it has really interfered with this automatic global collapse. It works to their advantage for the system to collapse, them to recover all the goods and services and make the loans out again. It's like we're having a picnic in the sunshine, but a huge storm was predicted for noon, and now it's noon, and we look around, and the sun's still out, and the kids are still playing, and we're still eating apple pie, but we look a long ways away, and at the horizon, there's a very dark cloud, and even though they said it was going to rain at noon, the sun is still out, but we can see the cloud. That's what it's like right now. We tell the kids, go out and play. We'll tell you when it's time to pack up and go. With Trump coming into office, he bought us those times that we can have a different kind of life for a number of years. Otherwise, if Hillary Clinton had become president, the fix was in to collapse the system and collapse it fairly quickly. So we dodged an economic bullet on that one. President Obama doubled the U.S. debt from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. U.S. consumers have a separate additional debt of $12 trillion. College students have a debt of $1 trillion. Automobiles, both new and used, have a $1 trillion debt. The GDP, the gross domestic product, in other words, it's what is produced compared to what is borrowed, the U.S. GDP ratio is now at 352%. Because of President Obama's 8 years of massive debt accumulation. For example, let's say you have a friend that has a great job and they make $100,000 a year, but they also have a credit card and they put $10,000 on that credit card this year, so they've spent $110,000. They got a salary of $100,000, put $100,000 on the credit card. Their GDP is 110%. This friend knows that he'll be responsible for the payback, the payback of the $100,000, the $10,000 on the credit card. But what if next year he earns $100,000 and borrows another $10,000 and then the next year? Your friend is now to the point where he's earning $100,000 a year, but putting $352,000 on his credit card. That's where the United States is at, earning $100,000 a year and putting $352,000 on the credit card. That's what the GDP is at 352%. And you're thinking, if you have a friend that's earning $100,000 but stumping $352,000 on a credit card, you're thinking, well, it's only a matter of time. Something's got to give here. It just can't go on indefinitely. That's what we've just done. And so we're in that situation. I hope that helps you understand the terms from what we're dealing with. Well, what if the Fed raises interest rates next week? Well, he couldn't pay back the $352,000. How he's going to pay back another $25,000 or $30,000 on top of that? It just doesn't matter. At a certain point in time, you just stop even being realistic with what you're spending. a lot of college students right now, they have a trillion-dollar debt, you know, in student loans. A lot of their student loans are being used for they're heading out for trips and spring breaks and stuff and taking trips using the student loan money. They're not spending it on school. They're just blowing it all because it was handed to them and they figured that they don't have to pay it back. It's a philosophy, or let's say more morality, more so. When you take something and don't intend to pay it back, that's the same as stealing. But because everybody's doing it and the young nation is doing it, they're just grabbing as much money as they can and blowing it all on whatever they want. That's a big trend right now, just to buy whatever you want with it and don't even try to pay it back. Well, we would probably think to our friend, why don't you declare bankruptcy? You're only making $100,000 a year and you're borrowing $352,000. Why don't you just pull the plug on the whole deal? Well, should the United States declare bankruptcy? You understand? Probably just keep going as long as we can go. That's what's called a debt bubble burst, is when the whole system starts collapsing in on itself. The illustration I like best is cowboys and Indians. The Indians are chasing the cowboy. The cowboy's riding his horse to death. If the cowboy slows down to save his horse, the Indians catch him and kill him. So he has no choice but to keep riding as hard as he can. If the cowboy keeps riding, eventually the horse is going to collapse. The Indians catch him and kill him. Slowing down or stopping is certain death. Riding the horse to collapse never gives him an exact time of collapse, so he keeps riding, perhaps hoping that some miracle will occur before his horse collapses. The United States is riding the collapsing horse and hasn't spotted a miracle yet. With Donald Trump's election, the cowboy has ridden into a small river, which will cover the tracks for a while. The Indians don't know if he went left, went right, or which side of the bank he got out of. They'll figure it out eventually, but it's going to take them a while to figure out what's going on with this guy. So right now, the cowboy is in the creek, riding in a particular direction, and he's going to get out somewhere, and the Indians will eventually figure it out. Short of a miracle, that's where we're at. We're in the creek. And we're still looking for a way out. A gross domestic product rate of 352% is so shockingly high. Just shockingly high. Many people say, well, I'll never have to pay it back. I don't really have it to pay. It's going to have to be somebody else is going to have to come with that because I don't have it. Not true. Not true. You'll pay it back in two ways. Either the things that you own will collapse into massive deflation, or things that you want will go into hyperinflation. For example, food prices would skyrocket. You're thinking, well, I'm not paying the national debt back. You are when you're paying the hyperinflated prices, or that you had a piece of property that was worth a huge amount of money, and with the collapse of the system, now it's only worth a fraction. When you have a collapse of a system, you have both hyperinflation and hyperdeflation. Everything changes values, and that's what the uncertainty of a collapse is. A $50,000 worth of canned beans in the back of a semi in hyperinflation with food shortage is now worth $250,000. A $50,000 antique clock during a collapse of the system, if you can get $2,000 for it, you'd be doing good. The issue, they both started out at $50,000. One went into hyperinflation, one went to a massive deflation. And so you say, well, I won't be paying for it. Everybody pays for this debt through the inflated prices or what they own collapsing in value. And that is the cost of the debt. They just don't see it and just don't know it. They just think, well, they're not going to get it from me. And the answer is you're the only one they're going to get it from, and everyone else. That is the debt payback. Oh, what planet am I on? The last 104 years of credit expansion from the central bank policies created a global debt now of $250 trillion, plus global promises of unfunded liabilities, like in the United States, of Social Security, Medicare, things like that, of $500 trillion worldwide. But the biggest issue is the value on paper that doesn't equal the value of the property called derivatives, which is now $1.5 quadrillion. Total global debt plus unfunded liabilities plus this false security of holding derivatives totals $2.25 quadrillion. That's bigger than any of us can comprehend. We have difficulty with a trillion or 10 trillion or 100 trillion, much less 2.25 quadrillion. That is the true worldwide debt bubble that we're facing. A collapse of this would certainly offer the false prophet a chance to try to promise some chance of survival. Well, God will make everything all right with a 2.25 quadrillion problem. No, he won't. Bible prophecy, God speaking through Bible prophecy says that it's going to collapse. The Bible says it will. God is responsible for taking care of those in covenant with him through Jesus Christ and salvation on a family and individual basis. But God is not responsible for saving the massive overspending, no, or overborrowing financial practices of the unsaved, ungodly world. He has no covenant with them. He has no contract with them to save the world's bank accounts. He has offered to save the world from hell and sin, and anybody in covenant he'll take care of also financially. He has no commitment or covenant or promise or Bible scripture that promises to save the world from their own greed and lust. The United States is near the end of the line of the economic dominoes, but we're far at the end of the line. Other countries are beginning to collapse. Venezuela, Greece, Portugal, Italy, Spain, the dominoes are falling over. They're going to take down the next weakest and the next weakest. It'll take years to work its way out. The United States is very strong, very powerful, but it's still in the domino line. Somewhere it catches up, and our domino bumps over. If you're in Christ, your personal domino was plucked out of line and set to the side. You'll still stand as the rest go down. This thing may play itself out slowly. We'll see. For 8 years, we've had the mainstream media basically using fake news or lies, telling us how good everything was going. And then suddenly, when they lose their position in office, it's, oh, how bad it's going. In January, President Obama gave his State of the Union speech and said, I'm handing the greatest economy ever, and you're welcome. He mentioned himself 70 times. And he said, hear this fantastic thing I'm handing. So in a month later, we're dealing with, oh no, the collapse of the world is coming. You don't know that even in New York, the rich people are paying, it's a $90,000 fee, an escape plan out of the big cities. They're hiring these companies that are setting up businesses that make yachts and boats and escape things available to them so they don't have to plan it themselves. They train them, they teach them how to use them so they can get out if a collapse happens and they don't want to get caught up in a death trap. So the rich people are just hiring these companies. They show them their escape plan and what is waiting for them and how to get out of town. Not all of them are going to hop in a helicopter and just go up. They need to get out of town, and going out a road is not going to work. So most of them are planning on going out into the water and then down and around, down the coast. But that's what's happening. You're thinking, why? Why would all these rich people be buying these escape plans? They don't have a sense that it's going to be okay. They don't know when or how. They're staying as long as they can, but they're making contingency plans to get out of Dodge. God's promises to us, no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. Just don't be mad if it's different. The world can't change and it not be different for how we function and interact with the world that we're trying to save? We're sent into the world to save them, and they're changing. So, of course, you're going to have a different surrounding and different circumstances and conditions, situations that you'll be dealing with. This stuff will play itself out over time. And we have the Holy Spirit of God to guide and direct us, to tell us what to do as it happens. So have a great life and realize we've been selected for this generation. Our U.S. debt ceiling was given a debt holiday by President Obama and Leader of the House John Boehner in October of 2015. I don't know if you remember that, but they simply lifted the ceiling and they said, well, just keep spending all you want. Here's three more credit cards. Just blow everything. And they said, oh, let's set up a time where you can't do this anymore. How about 2 months after I'm out of office? And John Boehner agreed and then left office. President Obama wanted to make sure that the debt ceiling was slammed into place right after he left. It's over next Wednesday, March 15th. At that point, the debt ceiling will be set at what it is right now, which is basically $20 trillion. And Congress are trying to figure this out. They've got a week to figure it out on whether they're going to get a temporary release. If not, then we have to work off the cash that we have. We still have to pay our bills. There's still people. We still need to pay Social Security and federal employee retirement and pay our military their checks. We're working with cash on hand of about $200 billion. We're going to blow through that in about 3 months. If they don't lift the debt ceiling, we reach a point by June where no checks go out. And so, of course, that can't happen. Politically, that would be a disaster. So they need to raise the debt ceiling. That debt ceiling is slammed into place on March 15th, the same date that the Federal Reserve is announcing that they want to raise interest rates. A slam, which would really hurt the economy on top of that. Oh, well, we'll see how that goes, huh? Hopefully they'll raise the debt ceiling and give a little fudge room here. We're still in the crick riding the horse, and the Indians don't know where we're at. IBM says it's close to manufacturing and selling supercomputers that operate millions of times faster than the ones we personally use. They're working on quantum technology that allows the bizarre behavior of quantum bits that take advantage of a phenomena called superpositioning, which means electrons can exist in two states at the same time. I don't mean Indiana and Illinois. I mean two states. This is way beyond the ones and the zeros on and off stuff that we use in our current computers. The problem they're having is this. They know how to make these computers. What do you do with this brilliant computer when everybody else has ones and zeros? They're trying to figure out, how do we get them to communicate with each other? How do you get a guy with six PhDs to communicate to a pre-K person on quantum physics? And that's the problem they're having. They're using modern age and stone age computers here and trying to say, I don't know, we might have to just make all these new ones and sell everybody a new one. Sounds like a plan. Digital devices such as your phone or computer, television can track you or spy on you even when you think it's turned off. It was really amazing. This last year, my daughter would be in a conversation with somebody and beep on her phone an ad for what they were just talking about to try to sell them something related to her conversation would pop up. And she said, watch this. And she said something. And then she opens up her phone. And there it is. Somehow, even though the phone wasn't on, it picks up the conversation. Now, a person's not listening in. A computer program is picking up the sound and finding the market and sending it back that fast, even when it looks like the phones are turned off. But they discovered that they can track you down, of course. Even Trump's cell phone, computer, and television, everyone is at risk of that. The NSA just spent $2 billion on data storage facility in Utah that stores, I'm not a computer guy, 5 zettabytes. I mean, I can barely understand skeeterbytes. And here we're going zettabytes. Anyway, what's in that information? I guarantee you are. There's pieces of information about every single person in this room being stored there. I have no idea what this does to our Constitution or whether we have a right against unreasonable search and seizure. When this stuff goes out of the airwaves or over the wires, anybody can pluck that out. Did you know right now that we're sitting here, there's television signals going right through you? And if anybody turned on a TV right now with an antenna, you know what you'd pick up? A TV show. And if you went to another town and you did the same thing. Well, all of this information, if somebody's talking to a cell phone right now, that is out there. So I guess nobody really has made the point of the constitutional challenge of that's unreasonable search and seizure. And they're going, well, you're putting it out. You're throwing it out there. It's like hanging your dirty laundry out in front of your house and yelling at the cars, quit looking at my dirty laundry. And they go, well, if you don't want us to look at it, don't put it out there. That kind of thing. So it's kind of creepy and it's unresolved by now. The Congressional FISA Amendment Act of 2008 was supposed to make government eavesdropping illegal. Yet whistleblowers and leaked info in the halls of politics show that somebody's still monitoring all communications. I have no idea how far-reaching it's become. The false prophet and the Antichrist in the Bible are going to monitor all economic transitions. They're going to try anyway. So it might be part of the beast system, this supercomputers and this monitoring and such. This huge behind-the-scenes monitoring is called deep state, or we used to call it the government inside the government. I'm not paranoid. I actually don't care that much if they monitor my communications. There's not that much to see, really. Even if they, other than filmed me in my room or something like that. But even then, it doesn't concern me that much, but it concerns me. That they would be trying to do this all over. They might catch me watching Andy Griffith reruns or something, but it won't be in my underpants. So, because in our house, people just walk in the door. So it's like, don't go upstairs. Some people who are off grid think they're unseen, but we have satellites that can go right down in on them. As for me, I will simply hold my hands over my eyes. So they can't see me. It works with the grandkids. Based on the rest reports, the U.S.-Mexican border, January and February of 2017, showed a 40% drop of people coming over the border. I know it. That's odd. Here's some interesting facts about President Obama. He played 333 times golf in 8 years. Yeah. He also not only wiretapped Donald Trump, of course he's denying he did, but boy, the information is huge, especially with the WikiLeaks dump this week that proved it, including top secret info. According to WikiLeaks' latest release of the info, not only did the Obama administration wiretap Trump, they wiretapped the United Nations, 35 heads of state, the World Trade Organization, the European Union, NATO, and Fox News. He also wiretapped his friends as well as his rivals. All this popped up on WikiLeaks. The WikiLeaks was not hacked. Somebody handed this information to him. What happened is the government hires these different companies to work with servers and stuff. They've got 5,000 different companies working with the FBI and the CIA, and these 5,000 different companies had access to this information. They've narrowed it down to 1,000 people that could have had this information that got it out there. So they're trying to figure out who took it. Are they a former employee, current employee? Was there somebody in one of these companies that wasn't CIA or FBI that simply dumped the whole thing? But it wasn't a hack job by WikiLeaks. It was literally delivered to them. WikiLeaks said today it has only released 1% of the information that it has on CIA documents. And it's calling it Vault 7. It said it will slowly release additional information. They don't want to do a big dump where everything is confused. So they said 1% of it has been released so far. It's the Samsung TVs, the latest ones, that they can watch you back if you have a Samsung. And smartphones and some other devices that they can listen in on. President Obama's overseen approximately 30,000 activists nationwide coordinating their paid protests with George Soros. And President Obama has moved 2 miles from the White House where he has set up a staff and he's coordinating these efforts. What really set him off last month, what caused a media frenzy was, what is her name, Melania Trump? Melania? I don't know. They called her every gross name in the book and everything. Do you know why? She spoke at a thank you rally in Florida. She began by saying, "Let us pray." She recited the Lord's Prayer. She tried to do the best she could. She got a couple of words a little bit off. They're freaking out over that. They said that there's a separation of church and state, and the president's wife should not be allowed to say the Lord's Prayer at a thank you rally because, I know, isn't that nuts? Crazy, crazy, crazy. Oh, well. Here's the latest rumors on the 2020 presidential election. Oprah Winfrey versus Donald Trump. Yeah, better not tell Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, or Chuckie Schumer. Back in 99, Donald Trump floated the idea of running for president with Oprah as his VP. Isn't that funny? Other names that are interested in running in 2020 are Mark Zuckerberg, Kanye West, he's kind of nuts, Mark Cuban, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. At this time, I would like to make an official announcement. I will not be running for president in 2020, although if Shelley has some spare time, I'd recommend writing her in. She'd be a good one. You can fit that in, right? I know how to say the Lord's Prayer. NASA had a huge announcement this week, a huge announcement. They said that 40 light years away, in other words, if you travel 146,000 miles per second for the next 40 years, that they have discovered 7 planets the size of Earth going around the sun. They said it's possible that these 7 planets orbiting around the single star could possibly have water, and if it did, it could possibly have an atmosphere and possibly then have life. How do they know there's 7 planets? They thought they saw a wobble in the star, which means that maybe the planets passed in front, in between us and them. I think they're looking for money. Because if you just say, we saw a star wobble, this could be important. It's 40 light years away. So they elevated all the way to the point on possible life on other planets. We need to find out about this, and how are we going to do it if we're not showing up for work? I think it's pretty funny. Same thing's happening in science research where they're creating claims of creating life in the science lab. They're not. The life that they're creating, the life stuff that they're creating, they're using living tissue to create the life. They're pre-existing stem cells and DNA and skin and everything they're using to create life was alive before they started using it. You know, set them in a science lab with just the elements and see how far they get. You know, let them have electricity and the elements. Maybe Bunsen burner, those are cool. But I don't know how they think they're going to do life. They think that lightning struck a water source on Earth, And anytime you've ever seen lightning strike a wet pile of rocks after the smoke clears, there is no puppy sitting there. Ever. Ever. Former President Bill Clinton gave a speech today calling for the return of personal decency and trust in politics. About time. I think that's good. I think we need it, don't you? Maybe we should send him around on a lecture tour. Oh, and former CBS anchor Dan Rather, known for his views supporting socialism and having lost his job after making stuff up, is releasing his new book on patriotism. Yeah. A 10-foot asteroid the size of a compact car, 20 times closer to the Earth than the moon, is missed by 9,000 miles last week. It was spotted 6 hours before it went by. The Middle East, and especially Israel, especially Jerusalem, are the key markers on the end times prophecy that we must keep our eye on. All this other stuff is interesting, but only Israel tells us where we are and how close we are. It includes Iran, which is Persia, Turkey, which is Tagarma, Iraq, which is Babylon, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Syria. They're all in there. On Monday of this week, U.S. troops flew into Syria for the first time, for the first Trump administration direct military operation to help capture Raqqa from ISIS. They're still doing the thing in Mosul, but today al-Baghdadi, Big Daddy, whatever his name was, he fled, and he said he's leaving, and he told his followers that are trying to defend, he said, hide or blow yourself up or run. He said, run or hide or blow yourself up. I thought, oh, well, it was clear anyway. It's understandable. But he got out of town. Well, in Iraq, Babylon, we are trying to capture Mosul from ISIS, which is the ancient city of Nineveh that, in Jonah's day. There's a prophecy that Damascus, Syria, will someday be destroyed, never to be inhabited again. This hasn't happened yet. You remember Damascus. Remember Saul and his conversion? Where was he? On the road to Damascus. He was there when Jesus Christ encountered him, and then he winds up writing most of the New Testament after that. Also this week, Israel's Defense Minister Lieberman met with Vice President Pence and Defense Secretary Mattis to discuss U.S.-Israel relations, plus the dangers posed by Iran to the entire Middle East. Meanwhile, in the United States, there have been many bomb threats and vandalism against Jews that do not appear to be isolated incidents, but coordinated attacks. The entire U.S. Senate signed a letter, all of them, calling on President Trump to provide greater protection to these Jewish sites. The letter from the Senate was sent to the FBI also, and Homeland Security and the Attorney General. One person has been caught so far who's a radical political leftist Muslim. So far, there's been 100 bomb threats in 9 different states. Also, for the first time ever this week, the top military leaders from the United States and Russia and Turkey are meeting right now discussing how to fight ISIS in Syria without clashing their separate armies into each other. When President Obama was running the deal, he kept shooting the Russians and their friends and saying, whoops, whoops. They'd be fighting way over here, and then a bomb goes way over there and lands on a military target, and we were going, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. That was a mistake. And so Russia started shooting, and our allies were getting blown up, and they were going, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. And so now they're getting together saying, how can we work this way out to fight this common enemy? Today, Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, is meeting with Russia's Putin to discuss Iranian forces being in Syria on Israel's border. Of course, The Iranian forces are the ones that are going to eventually invade in the Ezekiel 38 war. That hasn't happened yet. As long as President Trump has troops north of Israel, in Syria, that Bible prophecy is probably going to be delayed. You know, we'll have troops there. They're not going to try an invasion there with us having troops in northern Jordan and southern Syria. So Trump's presence and his troops there is going to delay the Ezekiel invasion and the Bible prophecies. It's going to push him farther down. I suspect that after this massive invasion, they'll sign a peace agreement, which could be the seven-year agreement that Daniel chapter 9 talks about, the final 7 years that some people mistakenly call a great tribulation. It's a seven-year period of time, but the great tribulation is actually the persecution of the Antichrist against the Christians and has no fixed years or months to it. We've picked up the slang and we call it the great seven-year tribulation. You'll never find seven-year tribulation in the Bible. You can look through your whole Bible and it's not there. You'll find the 7 years of the contract in Daniel. You'll find 42 months or 3.5 years of an Antichrist rule. You'll find 42 months of two prophets speaking in the nation of Israel. You'll find all of those things. You'll find 21 judgments. You'll find all of these things, but you won't find a seven-year tribulation. But they'll all occur about the same time. So anyway, with Donald Trump in office, it's delaying some of the end times prophecies because the Ezekiel 38 war, which will probably trigger the seven-year contract, which would probably set things in motion for the rise of the Antichrist and the rebuilding of the temple, gets pushed back farther and farther. And people say, well, that can't happen because God set these things in time. God did not set this thing in time. God, there's a verse in the Bible, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it says, by doing the will of God, you can shorten, increase, or hasten the coming of Christ. You can change the return date. From God's perspective, he has foreknowledge, or the word is prognosis in the Bible. He knows when it's going to happen, but he doesn't force it to happen. He is a will that's being carried out, and the generation before Christ comes back has an ability to change the date. Not the times, not the generation, but move the date. And with our American troops north of Israel, until we're completely out of the way, that date gets pushed farther and farther back. It gives us more time to live and have our lives before that happens. And the harvest come in. Yeah. Unless the United States is attacking Israel from the north with them, we've got to be out of there, and we're just going in there right now. Somehow, somewhere, Damascus gets wiped off the map too in the mix, and it isn't gone yet. But here we are, right in the middle, almost blocking their ability to do anything. They're actually, the Iranian soldiers are actually farther south than the American soldiers are. We're north of them. They're sandwiched in between us and Israel. So, you know, those other prophecies can't be fulfilled until this issue gets resolved. This six-year civil war has drugged things out. The six-year civil war that was started when President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton funded the Muslim Brotherhood, gave them money and weapons, who gave them to Al-Qaeda, who gave them to ISIS, who positioned themselves when he pulled the troops out prematurely. Now our troops are back in, and it blocks those prophecies from being fulfilled until we're out of the way. So, anyway, what planet am I on? President Obama also banned Christian refugees from entering the United States, but allowed Muslim refugees to come in. The Syrian civil war has killed 500,000 people so far and put 10 to 15 million refugees out of the country. That's what's really wrecking Europe right now. Also in the Middle East, the terrorist group Hezbollah, they're north of Israel in a place called Lebanon. They occupy southern Lebanon, and they have 100,000 rockets. Last week, they released a videotape claiming to expose 9 locations tied to the production and assembly of Israel's nuclear weapons, which Israel continues to deny it has, but we figure they've got somewhere between 1 and 200 nukes. Hezbollah also reported that they now possess sophisticated rocket weapons of precision capable of wiping out Israel's nuclear infrastructure. And they're revealing the locations of the missile sites. They're saying we know where they are, and we now have the weapons that we got from Iran to blow them up. Hezbollah received 200 very powerful missiles from Iran. Also, while Israel deals with Hezbollah to the north, the terrorist group Hamas to their south in the Gaza Strip is threatening to attack Israel military positions. They've been overtaken by ISIS in the Gaza Strip. And ISIS doesn't care who gets killed. Before, the citizens of Gaza, they'd launch a rocket, but it was like, be cool and be careful, and because Israel's going to counterattack. And now ISIS is in there calling the shots. They're going, we don't care if they blow up a school or a hospital. And so the people who are running the show in Gaza now are not the Gazan citizens. And they're kind of freaking out about it. The last two times that Israel tried to stop the war with Gaza by going in, Netanyahu called them up short right in the middle and pulled them back. Now they don't know what to do. So anyway, and besides that, Netanyahu was floating the idea of expanding the Palestinian territory into the Sinai Desert, Egypt desert, to their south, and saying, let them have a Palestinian state there. So he's floating that idea out. Plus, he does not want to incorporate the West Bank and add enough votes that could knock all of Israel out of office. So they're in a dilemma right now. 2 weeks ago, Israel military destroyed 5 Hamas targets after another rocket attack from Gaza. 5 years ago, Syrian President Assad was expelled from the 22-nation Arab summit that meets every year. Russia, Jordan, and Egypt are trying to get Assad back in. Russia's goal is to make peace between Syria and Saudi Arabia, and then peace between Saudi and Iran. I don't know how it's going to... It's all about oil. Russian oil, Saudi oil, Iraq oil. It's all about oil. President Obama was shut out of this whole process for the last 8 years. So Trump has got a lot of catch-up to do. So far, President Trump has not shown his hand in what he wants to do. He's taken a wait-and-see attitude because he doesn't know how this thing's going to settle out yet. It's kind of tricky. Meanwhile, President Assad of Syria has informed Iran that it's willing to put Iran's top Revolutionary Guards on assignment to Hezbollah to begin helping shoot missiles into Israel. That's Iranian forces by the power and permission of the Syrian president to go into Lebanon to help Hezbollah with their 100,000 missiles in the attack against Israel. Wow. Israel stayed out of it for 6 years so far. By Assad assigning Iran the task of attacking, he can say, hey, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Hezbollah's leader, Nusrallah, is going around bragging about his ability to wipe out all of Israel. Now it appears that not only are there tunnels under the Gaza border with Israel, they're finding tunnels now from Lebanon coming under the border. Israel's military leaders are drawing up brand new contingency plans right now to evacuate northern Israel. They want to get the citizens out of the way. The citizens are saying, why should we have to move? And they're saying, listen, You're going to die. You'll be on the battlefield. We don't live in a big country. The plans are this. If the invasion starts and the attack starts, we evacuate all of you so that we have an open battlefield to deal with and not have to fight in around all of Israeli citizens. They're pretty ticked off that they have to move. They don't think that they're going to get attacked, but the military does. They want them out of the way. It's going to be a free fire zone. It certainly looks like a Middle East war against Israel is being prepared for as possibly as early as this year. God promised 70 years to Israel to replace their years of captivity. That's 70 prophetic years of 69 years. His promise to keep him in place and protect them is up in 2 months. It runs out. That's why I'm saying before then, nobody can attack Israel. God won't let them succeed. After the middle of May of 2017, God's promise to them to hold them in place is fulfilled. Some people think that God also likes Judaism. He hates it. Most of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was written attacking how it failed and takes people to hell. He hates Judaism. Well, doesn't he like the temple and building all the sacrifices? No, it takes them away from Jesus Christ, the Christ covenant, the final solution. It never helped them get to heaven by all their religious stuff with the Sadducees and Pharisees in their day. That's why Romans was written and Hebrews was written and most of Galatians and Ephesians. They're establishing that it doesn't work. And then when Christ came and was rejected by the Jews, God doesn't hold Judaism up as a big standard as it should be protected. He loves the people. He wants them saved. He wants them to turn to the Messiah. He doesn't want to see them destroyed, but he doesn't love Judaism any more than Islam or Hinduism or Confucianism. He doesn't, confusion, yeah, I don't know how to ever say that one. But anyway, God's promise to give them their recovery, their replacement, restoration back is up in May. After that, all bets are off. Even though we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Jerusalem and Israel falls. It fails. They have to flee. The Antichrist takes over. We pray and pray and pray. It will not change what the Bible says. We are for Israel. We support Israel. We want them saved. The New Jerusalem in Israel is key. It's the center of God's plan and purpose. But he doesn't love Judaism that takes people away from Christ. And I know some popular theologians lately say that there's an alternative way to Christ if you're just a good Jew. Some people that I'm embarrassed about, I'm not going to say names right now, but I'm embarrassed that they've taken the view that there's an alternate way to get to heaven to bypass Christ. Like, you can't do that. They say, well, technically, theoretically, it's possible you could get to heaven without Christ. And I'm thinking, you're crazy. It'll never happen. It won't happen. And that's why you say, well, isn't God going to protect them? His promise is in place, but his promise gets pulled. Several times in their history, he didn't protect them. He didn't. They were in Egypt for 400 years. He saved them initially, and then they became slaves. Babylon came in 4 times and captured them and took them out. He let them be overrun when they didn't follow him. He will let them be overrun again. We want the best for them right now, but we know the Bible says it doesn't hold. It doesn't stay put. I don't expect a war in Israel in the near future, but it could start as early as this year. Everybody's getting ready for it. just like it looks like we're ready for a war somehow, somewhere with North Korea, everybody's moving into position around Israel. What would happen if Russia pulled out of Syria or Putin suddenly died or something like that? Game changers. You can wake up in a single day and it's a huge game changer in the Middle East. And a single event can cause that. But with U.S. troops there, they thought Hillary was going to be president and start a war with Russia. And then everybody else could do whatever they want because everybody focused on the U.S.-Russia war. That didn't happen. Instead, now we have U.S. troops in Syria. That wasn't supposed to happen. It changes everything. Also this past month, the Iraq Air Force flew into Syria and attacked ISIS in Syria. The Iraq Air Force just flew in. It's a total mixed-up mess. As I said before, and I'll close with this, if you want to understand what's going on in the Middle East, it's like this. It's like a professional football game where there are three teams on the field playing instead of two. And while they're on the field playing, three college teams are also on the field playing at the same time. But the three college teams, from play to play, they can switch sides. So the six teams are playing, and three can switch sides at random. And now you understand that's what they're dealing with. If it looks like a mess, it is a mess. But God saw this coming. We got a break. They got a break. We got some more time. And I think we should take advantage of it. Have a great life. We're stretching some years out of here where we can have a blast and raise kids and grandkids and win people for Christ and tuck it away. It could go on 20, 30 years. I don't think it will. The church will be 2,000 years old in the year 2032. How far away is that? 12 plus 3, carry the 4. No. 15 years from now, the church is 2 days old. There's a prophecy, is it Hosea or Amos, that says for 2 days that he'll leave Israel for 2 days and then return to Israel for the third day. He'll leave Israel for the 2,000 years and then come back for the 1,000 years. And there's a verse that says, and all Israel shall be saved. But it looks like that's a millennial kingdom thing. That as they survive these horrific years on the earth, that they'll realize who their Messiah is. So those 2 days that was prophesied is going to come to close in 15 years from now. Either way, we hit the church being 2 days old, 2,000 years old from the day of Pentecost in the year 32 A.D., I think if the 7 years of Daniel was plugged inside that 15 years, then we got 8 years to go before things start to really collapse big time. It'd be the economy, it'd be the wars, it'd be the earthquakes, the volcanoes, it'd be everybody walking around going, what is going on? And you're going, what's going on is that we're in the end days. But I think the news that I like is that we've got some time. It's bought us some time. So continue to make your plans. It's not get out of Dodge. It's enjoy Dodge for a while. Hallelujah. Year to year, who knows what each year is going to bring. Praise God. We had no idea this year was going to be like this year. Last year. We had no idea that this year would be like this year. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we love you and purpose to serve you and thank you. Lord, we know you're moving. We call for the end time harvest to show itself. Send workers into that field. Give us more time. Give us more mercy. We repent, Lord. Show us your will And may we finish strong, for however many years are left, we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.